Blog Talk Radio.
That out, true. Which they still don't know and haven't done an investigation, but that's neither here nor there. So now, with what has happened, not just in Minneapolis, but Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, and now everybody is sharing videos of a whole bunch of other things that have taken place here recently that's been popping up.
Yeah.
The Office of Independent Monitoring, it's coming. It's coming. And just like a kid, as a kid growing up, you might not like mayonnaise, but if you don't tell the restaurant worker that you don't want mayonnaise on your burger, well, now you're gonna get mayonnaise now.
You're gonna get mayonnaise.
You should have gone and sat at the table and come up and craft it. That's what leadership does. Okay, you think this would be better for our police department? Let's go sit at the table and let's come up with some type of a working system that works with the police union, that works with the citizens, and we'll train you on our police stuff, education on our police stuff, and we'll come up with a working model. But our union's attitude was, I'm going to sue you because it's a change in working conditions. No, it's not. Now, you're not at the table.
You don't even have a voice, huh?
Nope. You don't have a voice.
Oh, this go around?
No, I don't think so. This thing should have been in place by now, but you did everything you could. You were able to manipulate and control the city council to take away the votes for it.
And that's what they did.
That's exactly what they did.
I can't vote against you if you putting money in my pocket. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? It's
you hitting the nail on the head.
I'm not going to do that. You just gave me $20,000. There's no way I'm going to go against you.
Devoted so much time into trying to show that my 25-year marriage was a conflict of interest with my wife being on the city council. However, you are politically backing all these other counselors who can now make decisions regarding the police department.
Right.
If that is not a conflict of interest, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what's happening.
Wow. Well, hey, bring it to the conversation.
Too. It is deep, man. This thing is deep.
You know, I think part of the issue also is we need more minorities on the police force.
Oh,
and
definitely.
It needs to be like Bobby always says, and I totally agree. If you're going to have a certain, you need to live in that community too.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening on the way up here, and someone made mention of someone back in the day who, white guy, chief, I don't know if he was a chief or what, but he knew.
Just regular old beat officer. Regular old beat officer. Joe Bettendorf, regular old beat officer.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm talking about. Because then they can say, oh, well, you know, yeah.
Officer so-and-so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can say, yeah, oh, come on, I'm taking you home to your mama right now.
Right, I know where your mama stays.
Yeah. Because there is no way. I was just watching the news, and they were interviewing someone on my way out. And the two youths that were walking over there. They
interviewed those young boys?
Well, they didn't interview him yet. But the I don't know if he was retired or still on the force. White hair, white guy. He was saying how that area, there's no traffic. There's no sidewalk.
Right.
So lawfully, the police had no right to even say anything to them because it's not against the law. If there's no sidewalk, there's no cars, there's no traffic, and that means young boys walking the hood. How do you expect for my teenage child to be walking with his partner down the street and have to have a fear of, oh, here come the police, man.
They pulled his
pants off. You're so right, Sansere. You are so right.
You know, from a mother's point of view, That is our biggest fear.
A mother's point of view.
We fear them turning 16 and driving. We fear them when they're 21 and can really trying to get out there trying to be gone. I fear for my son now, and he's in his 40s because of the way that things are. But
I thought you was in your 40s.
Hey,
you look good for age. I'll
be the big 6'4".
That's my sis right there,
yeah.
Boy.
Thank you.
It's all good. All good,
yeah.
Keeping it together. But we need some restructuring to take place.
Yeah,
man.
And that defunding, they need to find another word for that, Bobby.
Yeah, that's
because
it's
not
totally
right demolishing the police force.
Right.
We just want to take some of those monies and invest it where it needs to. Because over in the UK, when they have an issue come up with somebody that's got a milk, they don't send the police. They have a special force that goes out there and deals with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps it down. And economically, come on, if you have these resources for education and have these resources for medical issues that come up and all, there's less crime anyway.
Yeah,
we don't need you. But when we don't have nothing, you're not giving us a chance to do nothing. And we know that was the whole idea from the very get-go, and it's been working. But you know what? I'm seeing more white folks out there walking than I do anybody else sometimes.
Yeah, they out there walking right now because they don't like what their ancestors have done, you know, and what they continue to see, you know, in today's time. See, think about it. A lot of these white kids got black kids in their schools, and they're doing black stuff.
A lot of these
white kids are doing black stuff.
A lot of these white kids, their cousins or uncles or aunts with somebody black.
Yeah, and they listening to black music.
That's right.
They're listening and living a hip hop and in a black lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not living in that traditional white lifestyle, gray haired old white men, you know what I mean, who are constantly perpetuating some myths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what's taking place.
Yep.
You know, and it's a change because notice here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when we went out on Brookside, I was out on Brookside. You know, I was in the North Star security car.
At the Brookside.
out on Brookside.
All right.
And I saw tons of whites. Marcus, I was out there with you. We saw each other. We saw tons of white people walking around with Black Lives Matter signs, and no justice, no peace, and signs of that nature. And I said, wow, look at all of these white people in the movement, you know, in the move, actually standing for a cause.
Did you also, Bobby, see the young ones? They were like 4 and 5 years old.
I see them.
You know, the little girl, she was like, say his name, whatever she was saying.
Yeah, and they were standing, for justice.
Yes.
You know.
They might not quite understand the full cusp of what that means, but they know it ain't right.
They were
fighting for a cause.
They were standing
for
justice.
Their parents for bringing them out there.
Exactly.
See, when you educate the young at a young age, you don't have to worry about all that nonsense, mm-hmm. foolishness as they grow older, because they're going to know the difference.
That's yeah. right.
But if you practice hate and teach your children hate
yeah.
and don't hate. See, one thing I know, you can put a bunch of kids out in the playground, little bit on the jungle gym, little bitty kids.
Little bitty ones.
They're going to play together regardless mm-hmm. of what color they are
right.
until a parent mm-hmm. tells them, look, you don't play with that kind
mm-hmm.
like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you know, even if you have people in isolation, you know, and I go back, you know, looking at a little bit of history. Look, I'm from the South. I'm from Mississippi.
Straight
the
out of
great,
Mississippi.
The great state. And the one place that you're not having protests is in Mississippi, because Mississippi is still the great state of Mississippi. And
wow.
we would deal with you in a certain kind of way down in Mississippi. You come down here protest. I mean, that's just the reality of it right now. It's crazy.
Is that
and
what
so,
it is?
So,
that's a lie
so,
about all 50
yeah.
states.
And so you think about this, okay? Think about Jim Crow era and the birth of the civil rights movement and people in the South, you know, standing up peacefully protesting and the police are coming with the billy clubs and the water mm-hmm. hoses and sicking dogs mm-hmm. on them for people just standing there peacefully protesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And America stayed silent. They had no idea. A lot of people, unless you were there to see it, they had no idea that those things were taking place. They may have heard about it in
yeah.
the North, but wasn't there to see it. But then all of a sudden, news media started showing up.
Pictures
and mm-hmm. on the CBS 6 o'clock news,
mm-hmm.
you seeing a sheriff sicking police dogs on little girls and women and people getting knocked over with water hoses. And all of a sudden, the more conscious of America just woke up like, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
we got to go do something. And then you get the civil rights movement, and then your white allies starting to show up and march along with you side by side.
Mm-hmm.
That's what has happened in this George Floyd murder.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what
that
has happened.
But you
because,
know, you gotta, you
because
gotta,
America saw that, and they like, mm-hmm. and I watched that video, Bobby, and I get
yeah,
fired up because I'm like, okay, he's not fighting, he can't breathe. All right, cool, roll him over, put him in the car, take him to jail. And I'm sitting there, okay, get him on the side, roll him over, put him in the car, take him to jail. Roll him on his side, put him in the car, take him. I'm just
yeah,
sitting there
yeah,
watching it. What? Okay, he's not fighting.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, this dude is unconscious. Okay, get him
put
up.
His knee on the neck.
Get him up, put him in the car, take him to jail. And I'm watching for 2.5 more minutes. I'm like, you just killed this dude.
Yeah.
The whole country just saw you do
that.
Wow.
Did you notice, Marcus? And I don't know if I was the only one, and one other person I read about. When the paramedics, when IMSA did come, when the ambulance did come,
uh-huh.
those were not paramedics. Those were police officers that came and
sure.
got the body.
Huh.
And got
and,
the body
and,
in,
they,
and put, did you notice that?
They look like sheriffs.
And
yeah.
they could have been like yeah. EMTs or trained, something like
no,
that. Like,
no, no, they
like,
had on
like
the
IMSA.
Same.
But sometimes,
really?
You know, you have guys that are trained to do stuff like that. So,
but there were like four of them. I
okay.
could see if there was one or two.
Okay.
There's like four of them, four
and,
or five
and,
of them.
And another thing to kind of watch out for, too, is so you're hearing this rhetoric about there's no sign of strangulation and,
yeah.
you know, da, da, da. Pay attention to the two guys who were on his back. You ever thought about that? The two guys that were on his back.
The other,
yeah.
right. the
other
two that you
right.
can't see, they're on his back.
That was holding his leg
yeah.
down. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. That's probably why he couldn't breathe.
They crushed
yeah.
him. Yeah, they crushed
yeah.
him.
So,
well, I tell
they
you
broke
what
his. They broke him. They
yeah.
killed him before the world.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
world saw...
Mm-hmm.
Police officers kill him.
Where it's a different feeling. I can speak for you. I don't know, baby, you're kind of young, but I can speak for me and Bobby, because I was, what, 10 years old, and you were maybe 11 when the civil rights movement really started getting in.
I remember.
You remember the feelings that we had and seeing it on the black and white
TV.
You know,
when you go back to the 60s, when I was protesting as a kid and young people, and my dad was out there protesting and getting locked up and put in paddy wagons. Of equal rights and civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
See, one thing I do understand, the civil rights movement were young people.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
you know,
they were all young.
It's always
Martin,
been.
Now,
Martin died at 39
right.
years old.
That's right.
But all the work he done before that, he was young. Malcolm, all of them were young men
yeah,
and young women out
yeah.
there in civil rights. And it's
that's
always been.
Too.
That's what we're seeing, a resurgence
mm-hmm,
of what's
mm-hmm.
happening
but
today.
Bobby, is it a different feeling for you is my whole point, what I was going to say. We lived through that. We were old enough to understand exactly what
you
was
know,
going on.
You know,
you
here in Tulsa,
in
it's a different thing, but you got that same thing happening in other cities when they were rioting and tear gas on them and a National Guard moving them all back and it's no different than the water holes being sprayed, you know, on all of them.
The difference,
you know,
is there is more of an integrated force.
Oh,
is,
most
that
definitely.
That is doing it now than it was back
most
then.
Most definitely.
That's what,
of,
I, that's
social
what I was
media.
Trying to get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's,
it's a more of an integrated force of that.
Feeling, Bobby,
because those young people are not as racist as them old silver fox
mm-hmm.
gray-haired men
mm-hmm.
who
yeah.
got the money.
That's right.
You know, all them big-time yeah. people, corporate men, they got the money, and they still got racist ideas. They were racist. Marcus, you come from Mississippi.
The great state of
the
Mississippi.
The great state of Mississippi.
All right.
And Mississippi has endured a lot of stuff, you
yeah,
know, that some of the other
yeah.
states didn't have to endure.
Well, you know what, Bobby, now that you say that, I was born and raised in West
you were in
Southern
San,
California.
San Diego.
And we went took a trip. I was like about 9 years old, and we took a trip to Memphis, Tennessee. We were going to have our family reunion. So we went through Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed because I thought that stuff only happened in the movies where they had the big corn shucks and cotton fields and
plantations.
But wait a minute. And they were actually little shack houses that we passed by on the freeway. And people were sitting out and you could almost see through the shack houses. And I looked at my daddy.
Shotgun houses.
Yeah, and I looked at my daddy and was like, what was that?
And
he said,
go out the back.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Then we get to Memphis. We get to Memphis and we get to Memphis and we're
they got
the
some
playground
old Quaker over there
called Hollywood Park or something like that. I can't really remember. And I remember me and my cousins were out there playing and carrying on. And I got thirsty, so I took off for the water fountain. They broke their necks. My cousins that were there that were from Memphis, they broke their necks to chase me down and grab me and tell me I could not drink out of that faucet, out of that
water fountain.
I had to go to the other one. And I was like, what? And I remember I started crying.
You California girl,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, well, it made me cry.
Right. It made you cry,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it made me cry. I was like, what are you talking about? Said, no. And they were serious.
Southward, let me chime in here. I think the difference in me, somebody who wasn't alive during that first civil rights movement,
mm-hmm.
I think the difference that we have now is not only the advancement of camera phones and all
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
but also we have the knowledge and experience from the 60s. We know what happened. We know what y'all did.
Well,
we
I don't know if everybody know what happened from the 60s.
Well, I mean,
you know what I mean?
Because
some people are marching and they know somebody got killed. You know what I mean? And lost their lives, but they don't know the history of the civil rights movement. They know, you know, we're going to get out here with some signs and we're going to, and it's more people and it's more. See, let me tell you something.
Bobby, have you noticed in the media how they're zeroing in on awakening people
to
that fact?
They're slowly
the
doing that.
The movies that they've been playing.
Let me share something with you. Here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, my daddy and the civil rights movement started in the barbershop, right?
Right.
A bunch of men got together, didn't like what the hell was happening. So my daddy and them protested and went up to restaurants, Borden's cafeteria, school board, all this stuff, fighting for civil rights. You know, they wanted equality and to be equal. Now I'm seeing a whole lot of people fighting for civil rights. But I don't think everybody understands what civil rights really is because they don't know the history. See, the Selma, you know, when they were doing those marches and King
mm-hmm,
them,
mm-hmm.
and they were holding hands. And
mm-hmm.
so, see, the civil rights movement is like this. The civil rights movement had Martin.
Mm-hmm.
It had Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
It had the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
It had the NAACP, the SCLC.
Mm-hmm.
It had...
Yeah,
an abundance
right.
of various different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
They were all different, but they were fighting for one particular cause. That was equal rights for African-American
mm-hmm.
black people to have rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where
the voting booth.
The voting booth. That's where it was so much different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, the Panthers didn't agree with all what Martin was doing, and Malcolm
mm-hmm.
and Martin didn't
mm-hmm.
always agree.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know they Martin was saying, you know, we don't pray about it. You know, we're going to move forward. Malcolm said, by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So until the younger people get the history, see, that's what's going to help them.
So you don't think that enough of the history, the young movement now knows enough of the history?
I don't. I think we got an abundance of a lot of people who know about the history, but I don't think all of them thousands and thousands and thousands of people don't actually know the history, but they know something ain't right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, they know something.
Right.
They know something
right.
ain't
mm-hmm.
right. So yes. I'm gonna go for it.
Watch somebody.
Something ain't right.
To watch somebody get killed.
Right.
Basically
exactly.
on live.
Exactly.
Live.
Yeah. Watch somebody.
Yes.
That ain't right.
Yeah.
And they're gonna stand for right. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm thinking right now. But I'm hoping and praying that it won't stop.
Yeah.
That protests won't stop. They'll protest whatever is against African American people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to help us better ourselves, because we're only 14%, like I always say,
mm-hmm.
and we got to start doing something, like you say, Baxter, for ourselves.
Yeah, we got to take care of
it. We can't just expect everybody to do something for us.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go back to that Black Wall Street way of life.
Build our own.
Every other race.
Protect ourselves.
Every other race
ourselves.
Do it. All other races do it.
Healthcare ourselves.
Yep. Okay.
Other races
well,
do it.
I don't know if this has been covered or not, but I have a question for you, Marcus. And I'm wondering, what is the, if you could share, even if you know, what is the talk in the locker room at the police department? I mean, the majority of... Cause
that ain't
going to
talk around
life.
Marcus.
No,
they ain't going to say nothing around you.
They ain't going to say nothing around Marcus.
They ain't
going
to say nothing around Marcus.
So when you say talk around the locker room, what in pertaining to?
I mean, with what are their feelings about how people are feeling...
Are you talking about with
about
the protests going
the
on?
Police, well, about the police and the defunding, and they need to be retrained, and how do they... Do you hear any comments about, then, you know, I think well, the training we get is just fine. You know,
like I said earlier, you know, you have a part of the force that you can, I'm telling you, can put an IV in them. And in the IV solution is cultural awareness and diversity training and da, 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 da. And you can run it all through their system, but it's still not going to change where they are. Okay. And
it's like a blood transfusion
saying,
that
but,
don't
but,
take.
But saying that,
if
it's in them, then surely they've been reported on. Surely somebody has called and complained about
you
it.
Know,
surely.
Not necessarily. Because,
really?
No, because I mean, just because, and it doesn't mean that officer is a racist officer. But, you know, it's just that,
right.
You know, I pull you over and you got 5 violations, I'll write you 7 tickets. I mean, you know, or instead of cutting you a break, I take you to jail for, you know, crossing against the crosswalk, you know, but it's
by
the
choice.
The thing, see, it's the culture. It's the culture
it's
of policing.
It's the culture
that we have to fight,
right.
That we're fighting against. We're not fighting against individual police officers. It's the culture. Because what happened, I'm going to tell you, when I was a rookie, man, I write you every ticket I could find. I was looking up violations.
That's what I did
because what happens is you're put into this system and you're like, okay, you know, not that I want to impress, but I'm a rookie and it's my job to take people to jail and write tickets and go to as many calls as possible and then chase people and get in the high speed chases because that's what I thought I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then all of a sudden something just clicks and you're like, wait a minute.
Well, you went into an environment where officers, veteran officers, black officers said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And you started listening.
Yeah.
Because me too, when I first got there, man, I went
get closer to that mic.
I went to jail 5 times a day.
What do you mean you went to jail?
Arresting
five times.
People.
Oh, okay.
I didn't care.
You better
chasing,
not have no seatbelt ticket outstanding.
I was chasing
standing.
Arrest. I was
really?
Chasing arrest.
Yeah,
I didn't care about what. How it affect you. All I cared about, I'm getting these arrests. And that's what everybody else cared about.
Getting your numbers up. Because I'm going to be on the list. And they're going to pat me on
warrant,
my shoulder.
Warrant list. I had a book.
Yeah.
A warrants book. Marcus knows what that is. Back then.
Yeah.
And we were looking at warrants book. Who got warrants? Bobby Eaton got 5.
Oh, well, no.
Guess where I'm going
that day.
Yeah,
I got
yep.
you.
I'm
going to
Bobby's
house. I'm going to get Bobby.
That's the way it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the thing is, that, you know, when I say you're fighting
the culture,
it's the culture of police that you're fighting against. You know, and it's not all about running and chasing and hopping fences and doing this. You know,
right.
it's about building relationships because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you should be able to call me and say, hey, look here, I got a drug house over here. This phone calls happens all the time.
got a drug house in my neighborhood. What do I need to do? Hey, I got some guys that like to chase that stuff and work that neighborhood. I'm going to put them on it. And I give them a call.
Exactly.
And that's what I do, you know, and we'll try to deal with their problem, you know. And so it's like, but in the meantime, you know, you got these young officers out here, white, black, from LGBTQ, Asian, Hispanic, that are out here doing some good work and trying to build those relationships. It just takes time.
It takes
for
time
them to do it. It takes time. Like,
yeah,
nobody knew me when I moved here. I didn't come here with a established name. I'm not a Tisdale. I'm not a Dyer. I'm not a Finley. I'm not a Blade. Nobody knew me. I'm from the great state of Mississippi. Nobody knew me.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
But
the
so
great
I, yeah, so I had to build that reputation up over time and build those relationships. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and so like I tell people, like we was here last time, man, you know, when I first got on, I was working at Central High School, my little part-time job. I was working security, and Corey Green, the Owens Cajun boy, man, I done chased Corey out the hall so many times when he was in high school. but look at Corey now.
Yeah.
You know, and then a lot of them kids from then, I work for the city and I see them around or whatever. They used to call me Debo back in the day.
Debo.
I could be in Walmart in South Tulsa in the middle of the night and somebody go, "Hey, Debo!" And I know it's one of them kids from Central. You know, so they used to run out the hallway.
Debo,
you know,
off of
Friday. Yeah, they have all their kids with them and stuff, but it's about building them relationships with people, you know, to where it's like, hey, boom. And Corey has his food truck. I got a food truck now.
Yeah.
And so I go to him for some advice and stuff like that. So what you think about this? What you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just.
Y'all got a good relationship.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
a beautiful thing, man.
That is.
Yeah. And that's what it takes.
That's,
so,
that's how it was amongst everyone back in 1921.
Yeah, right.
Before they.
Right. That's what it was.
So
they, point they before, helped each other.
Yeah.
They helped each other.
I mean, if you were building a house, somebody would come over there and help you build your house. They bartered, they trade, they did everything. Back in the block, Black Wall Street way.
Yeah.
And even back, I'm going to say back in the 60s and 70s, here in North Tulsa, we didn't have to go nowhere. We stayed in North Tulsa because North Tulsa had several grocery stores, several movie theaters, all kind of eating places,
well,
entertainment venues.
In 74, when I came here, there
was all
Dillard's
of that.
And all
we didn't
that.
Have to go nowhere.
Dude, that's
Dillard's and all that, record
that's
stores
true.
And all of that were right here. In this community, taxi cab services, everything.
Well,
right here, you didn't have to go nowhere. We didn't even go south. Nobody went south. If you went south, you were special. You know what I mean? Because everything was over here. You know, right, the strip center next to McLean.
Yeah.
You know, Northridge, the strips.
Mm-hmm.
There were three or four nightclubs up in there. The McLean Shopping Center across the street had a grocery store down on the end down there.
Mm-hmm.
Safeway, Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Man, we had so much stuff. We had about all kind of big entertainers would come to the Rose Room and all of the Blue Moon Hill.
Wow.
All of these superstar, legendary Ray Charles and Ike and Tina Turners and all of them would be right here in North Tulsa.
Wow.
You know, and the history has been erased. A lot of those buildings have been condemned, and a lot of us has moved and went out south. We left grandma's and them house and all the family homes and businesses. We didn't continue to build that legacy and keep it alive.
Yeah, but slowly and surely, though, it's coming back, Bobby.
Yeah.
That's what I tell you.
Well, Black's got to make it come back.
It's coming. It's coming.
You know,
do you feel that?
Being,
do you feel that?
There's some work being done.
But, you know, Marcus, what
it's
I see in North Tulsa, I see white men and big old
coming over here,
150 trucks coming over here looking at property, buying up property. Even where I live right here, a white man has bought up a whole lot of property.
Really?
Yeah, they buying a property here in North Tulsa because it's so cheap. This is like a diamond in the rough.
I know that,
you know,
but I thought
most
of this was black owned.
No, black people are selling their property that don't have homes on them anymore. They're selling that property. And what happens is white people are buying them up, or Hispanic people are buying them up. And what they end up doing, white man, he'll get a Hispanic crew to come on, put that new roof on and everything. And then he'll have rental property and he'll rent it out.
You're right.
That's what happens. That's what's going on here. So therefore, there are no cleaners being built.
There ain't no grocery stores being built. There are no mechanic shops and all of that. I mean, it ain't too much. I hope it comes.
It's right there.
I hope it comes
right there.
Because we need some economic development in our community. You know, you see the big boys coming. Like I said earlier, the Quick Trips and the Burger, the Quick Trips and that's for the white folks.
That's
a big boy,
too.
Well, that's a big boy.
Who?
Tesla.
Oh,
the car dealership.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, BMX, Tesla.
That's
the white folks bringing
their
stuff in.
And you best believe they're going to be bringing white folks in from all over
that's
the country
where they come,
instead of just concentrating on hiring us.
Yeah. But deep north, out there by McLean, you know, out there in the hoods and stuff, you don't see too much development taking place out there, economic. They say there are 33,000 people in District 1, right, in North Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. Do you know little towns like Sperry and Bigsby got more economic development than we do? And they got less people. They got Walmarts. They got all kinds of
stuff.
They're
predominantly white, though.
I'm just saying, economic development. We don't have it. They got it in them places.
When you look at how Bixby has exploded, you know, that's a whole town like Bixby and Jinx and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different when, you know, you have a part of Tulsa. And so when people started moving to the suburbs and started building houses down in Bixby wasn't, you didn't have all the stuff down there. But as that population started to move that way, money started going down there. And now, okay, let me build a Quick Trip. Okay, now we got to build a grocery store. Okay, we got to build the
Mercedes dealership.
Let's do that. Let's do this.
Ain't nobody moving over here.
Yeah.
Economic development.
Now people are starting to move back. And so you figure, okay, you know, what needs, I try to stay out the political stuff. I'm a policeman. That's what I know how to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I kind of hear what's going on and see what's going on. And I know there's a grocery store coming. I mean, they're like right there on the ground breaking on the grocery store.
Yeah, I heard about
it. But everybody always says, well, I want a neighborhood Walmart. I want a Reese's. I want this one. No, they're not coming. They've been telling us for years they're not coming
gonna
up
show
here.
Up. No.
And if you look at it around the country, nobody's building grocery stores like that around the country.
Yeah.
They're building your smaller style grocery stores because think about it. Everybody in this room, we can get in our car and go to any grocery store in this city. They got chicken breasts on sale at a Whole Foods at 41st. I can drive and get me some chicken breasts.
But the difference about that is
I can go somewhere else and
get something else. The difference about that is the tax dollars are going to them.
I understand that.
And
but,
see, we're not getting any of those tax dollars.
But what I'm saying is that when we come to build that grocery store here, it's for the community here.
And the
tax dollars are going to stay here. So I can walk from your store and go over here and get me a bag of oranges and come walk back, get some exercise. And it's for the people that don't have the access to get all around town.
Vegetables and things
like that.
Exactly. I understand that. That's a good thing. But that tax dollar stays here.
Here in North and so when they build this BMX facility, that's going to be the Olympics. Not just something that people be jumping at, like the Olympic training facility for probably one of the largest growing sports in the country. So you get that there, other stuff comes in. That tax dollar is right there on Greenwood, on Lansing, and in this community.
But look at this. Those white people going to move down there.
Thank you.
And they're already viewing that way in advance, and they saying, we got to get us a spot down here. We're going to have to get this down here. We're going to buy up this. They're building stuff on the corners and buildings, and they're going to move down there. And if we're not careful, they will take over Greenwood as we once knew it, and the culture will be destroyed. You know, when I go down that way and I see lefties, you know, making all the money for the nightclub and the spot and the restaurant, more so they make more money than probably the Retro. You know what I mean? And you got those type of fat guys make burgers and make all this money. These are white people coming down in the black community. Drill a stadium right there.
Yeah.
White people coming all off in there and moving you slowly out of
there. What is the solution?
Let me ask you this.
What's that?
What does Quick Trip bring to North Tulsa?
Okay, let me hear you.
To the black community.
That's what I was going to say. That is the number one Quick Trip the country.
What do they bring up?
Right here, Peoria Pie. The reason I know is because I talked to one of the district men. It's the number one. There is so much consumer money's going to that Quick Trip right at Pine and Peoria every day.
How does it help us?
It don't help us because they're not giving anything back.
Exactly.
Burger King and all of them, they're not giving anything back to the community.
Popeyes. What do they give back?
Huh?
What do they give back?
Don't give
nothing
back.
So that's why we need that strategy to make people who want to operate their business in our communities contribute to our community, contribute to our safety and well-being and,
well,
and the prosperity.
You
got to
reinvest in black product.
Exactly.
See, you got to come over here to Eat Media Services and help us build a brand and help Negro Spiritual and help North Star Security and all of these different black businesses and invest in them.
Yeah.
You know, because I always say this to a lot of people. I say, wow, y'all will run up to Channel 6 and you'll run to Fox 23 and you'll go to Channel 8 and you'll go to everybody. But will you come to your black media sources? Will you come to Black Wall Street Times and tell your story and Eat Media Services and Oklahoma Eagle and, you know, Tulsa Star and Greenwood Tribune and all these local? Will you do that before you jump off in there and be smiling and grinning in their faces? Will you come over and tell us your stories first? We're African-American media, and that's what we need. So how can we grow the brand and build ourselves if we don't have no financial help and we just struggling every day to make sure things operate and move because we tell our stories our way?
Yeah.
And I'm just being real about it, you know, and that's what it is. Back in the day, the Oklahoma Eagle used to be flourishing.
But back in the day, we had black-owned bank, too.
Yeah, we had black-owned businesses, period.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
that's what's lacking, too.
You know,
banks.
That's what it was.
How can you get a loan
bank,
to
yeah.
help you do anything?
You know, but you have to invest black.
Yeah.
You have to. You know, we got a lot of black businesses right here in North Tulsa, mm-hmm. and we'll pass them up to go spend our money out south mm-hmm. to a white businesses that carry in the same thing. We do that all the time.
Why do you think that is?
Because we're conditioned that white man's ice is colder than black man's ice.
The old saying.
Mm-hmm. I can't hear you. Yeah. You ain't got no microphone. So. Yeah. What you say? What you want to say, Daddy? What you say?
Yeah.
Come on over here where they can hear you. You know, my daddy's getting ready to get on the phone and say a couple of things.
You got to impart some wisdom.
Yeah. And you can't hear you over there on the sofa. You know, over there on the sofa. What were you saying? You put that microphone up to his mouth, Dean, so they can hear him. What did you say?
Yeah, turn around,
Daddy. Get in front of that microphone right there. Come forward.
You all got a problem, okay? You got a problem to deal with that we didn't have to deal with.
Okay.
Which is, this was still black and all torso.
Yeah.
You got white folks all over. You know, look in your back door.
Yeah, I know.
Right down the street from that.
They everywhere.
See, so when you begin to talk about putting this unity together, you don't see these white people that have moved over here still not in any black places.
Uh huh.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No black facilities.
They don't believe in making you rich. They also have put in here undesirables. Riding bicycles by your house to see what they see that's outside, come back in the night, there's no motor to start up to alarm you. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They are putting their strategy, down.
Mm-hmm.
You all have to look at what we did back there. But we made a lot of mistakes because we didn't have a prior history from which to draw. But you all got that history, which you can draw from and make much stronger and better than we were able to do it. So that's really all I want to say. But you got to get together and do that planning, just like they do. They say if you get into politics like you should, and I'm still talking about life, say they will plan with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't... They're playing on you.
They're playing on you.
They're playing on you.
Yeah.
You got to be there.
Well, that's
with your,
right.
With your agenda.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a little break. Hey, we got a couple of people who are not with us right now, but we're going to come right back.
All right.
You know, we're going to take a couple of
We got to pay the bills.
We still got more time.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Tulsa. This is Janetta Cole with Sunday Dinner and More by Janet, your weekend soul spot. Every Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. We're located 531 East Apache in the historic Apache Circle Center. Of course, during these times, it's carry out only, but you can call 918-951-5143. That's Sunday Dinner and More by Janet.
I don't want nobody else to ever love me. You are my shining star.
Last Stop Lawn Maintenance and Landscaping is hiring today. Must have a valid driver's license and must have a 2 years verifiable experience mowing and lawn maintenance with the company. Strict attendance policy is required. Honest, dependable, and team-oriented. No sex offenses or crime against children. Must apply online at www.laststoplawnmaintenance.com. Apply today.
Searching for ways to grow your business? Or perhaps you would like to invest in Tulsa's African-American community? The Black Wall Street Chamber of Commerce is a great place to start. The Chamber was created to serve and increase the visibility of needs in our community. It is an umbrella organization for local businesses, the Tulsa Juneteenth Festival, BWS Black Women in Business, and the Grassroots Economic Development Fund known as BWS The Power Group. For more information about the Black Wall Street Chamber of Commerce or to donate to The Power Group, visit bwschamber.com.
If your credit starts with a 3, 4, 5, or 6, this is for you. Did you know that it's costing you to have bad credit? You can't get qualified for that house or apartment and you're paying high interest rates, along with paying high car insurance, and it may be costing you that job that you really want. What are you waiting on? Take more of a holistic approach. Pick up the phone and call the Credit Shiro at 832-642-1554 or text CAMP to 76626. With 13 amazing services, we restore and repair generations to come. Once again, call the Credit Shiro at 832-642-1554 or text CAMP to 76626. If you know better, you do better. Only the Credit Shiro can help you to save the day.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the all-new KBOB 89.9 FM, Black on Black Community Radio.
I might as well drop a little something on your hold up.
Belly Bell, Messy Mika, Sunshine, Randall Lopez, Oatman, and DJ Perfecto.
Yep, that's my crew.
Hey. Wake up every morning with your morning crew from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the all-new 89.9 FM Community Radio.
What's that?
KBOB.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Lester Troutman.
Is that Troutman?
And when we in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we always listen to
K-Bob FM.
Peace and Black Power. This is the Prince of Pan-Africanism, Dr. Umar Johnson. Whenever I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'm listening to The Bobby Eaton Show, 89.9 FM KBOB, for news, information, and critical analysis. The Bobby Eaton Show, that's where Dr. Umar hangs out.
Hey, this is Ralph Johnson of Earth, Wind, and Fire, and whenever I'm in Tulsa, I'm tuned in to KBOB 89.9 on the FM.
Oh, yeah, you're on the Bobby Eaton Show where we tell our stories, are we? Won't you guys keep in mind that we're located at 1533 North Norfolk Avenue here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We are taking donations, so you can email us at eatonmusic2@gmail.com. Let me turn this down a little bit. And hey, I want to welcome back Sansa Ray.
Hey,
Sansa Ray been on the show, you know, and Negro Spiritual House. My daddy made a few announcements. All right, public service announcements.
Yes.
You know, a lot of good information. But stop by 1533 North Norfolk, Eden Media Services, where we tell our stories our way. Want to let you guys know we got several different shows over here now.
Yeah,
what we got going on? Let's see.
Today
is Wednesday. Okay, let's
tomorrow
start.
Morning.
Let's see. Tomorrow morning, every morning from 7 to 9, it's the Velly Vale Morning Show.
Hey.
You know, we just lost Velly Vale not too long ago, but his crew decided to continue on with his morning show.
All right.
And we just want to thank them. They just said, hey, we're not going to quit. He would have wanted it to continue.
Yeah.
So, Velly Vale Morning Show from 7 to 9. Tomorrow night, Juice Radio Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Starting at 6 o'clock, six to 8,
One
Juice Radio Show. Fridays are going to be Funky Fridays, so we're
going to
take
We're going back to the Funky Fridays.
But Funky Fridays are going to be entail as we're able to social gather again.
Yeah.
We're going to have live broadcasts with barbecues and a DJ outside and live, you know, stuff like that. So you can come through 6 o'clock p.m. every Friday. Bring some meat to put on the grill.
Hey, now.
You know, or something you want to do, some cards, some dominoes, whatever.
I think your next Funky Friday is on Trump rally day.
Oh, yeah, man.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, Trump coming here on
His first stop.
On Juneteenth.
First stop.
His first stop.
On Juneteenth.
I am so anticipating how many people are going to be there.
It's going to be a lot of people protesting and a lot of people coming to support him. You know, so, you know, this is a red state, so I expect it to be packed for him.
You know,
I think it's going to be more packed for protesters, you know, because I think them young people are going to show
young
up.
Young people, yeah.
They're going to show up. So that's what's going to be happening. So on Juneteenth, that's an insult. You know, it's an insult.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is an
insult. Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you hear the little apology that the mayor gave? E.T. Bynum, whatever his name.
G.T.?
G.T.
No, what did he say?
He said he must apologize of the comment that he made about it being more about drugs than, you know, a human life, you know, Terrence Crutcher's life. And,
well, he didn't
say
it was more about drugs versus his life. He said it was more about drugs versus racism.
Oh, okay. Well, he was apologizing.
So
I caught the last little bit of that, too. It'd be all over the place.
But that's what you heard in his apology. That's not what he said on the show then when he addressed it on CBS or NBC.
Yeah, it was nationwide.
Yeah, he said it was more about drugs versus anything to do with racism. So if he didn't address racism in that apology, then
I don't think he did. I think he just said a human life or something like that.
He said Terrence Crutcher was on drugs, man.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah,
you know, that's why he lost his life, basically.
Mm-hmm. So that means anybody the police encounter on drugs, that's the outcome.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. But you can tell they shooting us and they killing us.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're not... they're not tasing us or they're not doing, you know, they shooting us and killing
Less
us, man.
Messages.
Yeah, they're killing us, man. Come on, let's be for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're killing us for jogging. They're killing us for, you know, just minimal.
Women, black women laying in their bed.
Yeah, black women laying in their
house.
And they're killing them, shooting.
Yeah,
you know?
Busting in. The no-knock bust in and hear who you're looking for is already in jail.
Right.
At the wrong resident.
Wrong resident.
You know, just shooting and killing. It's true, man. They're doing too much. Like you say, too much.
They're doing too much. Yeah.
We got to take care of us. We got to have our own protection.
Yeah, I was...
How can you have an impact on alleviating it?
Well... My solution is with us being the minority of people. It's like you said earlier, Baxter. One thing, black people need to go back to the Black Wall Street way and take care of ourselves. That's one way. And what we call good white people need to charge up to all the bad white people, not be fearful and scared to do it, not just talk about it.
Yeah.
They need to get out and do it. And then on top of that, we need to get out and vote so we can start changing policy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start changing policy, and
you know what
like
people
that,
don't realize. Somebody on Oprah's little show last night, I was looking at it. She had various guests on there. They were virtually talking about the issues, And someone, I can't remember who it was, said, we as black people got to understand, too, this little tidbit. Our money is our vote. The vote is our money. That's how we start to change things at the city, state level. We got to get out there and put people in place that we know are going to, you know, adhere to the needs of the community. Right,
we
got to
follow
don't.
The blueprint. Like we were talking about the FOP earlier.
Uh-huh.
When they back certain people, those people are not going to vote against them because they know
they're
that,
behind
hey,
them.
Yeah. Right. If we as of the black community were backing certain people who are in those offices, they cannot vote against our interests because they are funded.
But we don't
them.
Have nobody in there that we like.
We can't. We got now today, two black men just put in their candidacy to run for mayor.
Who are they?
Greg Robinson.
All right,
we heard about Greg.
Yeah.
Dr. Rico Wright.
Rico's running for what position?
Mayor. Both of them are
running against
the famed GT that we've been talking about. So Greg
Rico's running too.
Dr. Rico Wright and Greg
Robinson
the second running for mayor of Tulsa.
They have a primary, don't they?
Mm-hmm. You got to get close.
I'm waiting for the debate.
You got to get close. Yeah, they have a primary.
Yeah.
So it means that somebody's going to get eliminated.
Right.
Yeah, somebody gets
eliminated. Well, I don't know what party these guys are running under. Mm-hmm. So we may be assuming.
They run under, so it may be under three different parties, and then they're.
Be, you know, yeah, we may be assuming. But
well, that'll take away from.
You,
that'll take
see,
away from.
You see,
us.
Again, that's already been established what happened. Joe Williams?
Is he running?
Joe Williams?
He's running for Osage County Commission.
Yeah, well, he ran for mayor.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
A long
and
time
you,
ago?
And yeah.
Okay.
But look, when he ran for mayor, it was completely open.
Yeah.
And just about 27 white people filed to run for mayor.
That's a
and
lot.
And he was the only
black.
Had blacks had any kind of unity, Joe Williams was supposed to be the mayor of Tulsa.
But that's the problem. You know, we don't have enough unity to get behind. Because, see, a lot of times black people decide who's going to get elected. If we get up, that's how Obama got in.
That's right.
Because black people got out there and voted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we don't vote.
What Joe Biden say? Black people been keeping him in office
forever, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
is that what he said?
The black
he wasn't lying.
Black people been keeping him in office.
Yeah.
That black vote.
He said if you don't vote for Joe Biden, you ain't black.
You ain't black. And the people put that out of context. I know when
what
I first heard
mean?
It, I did.
How
I was
else,
like,
how
what?
Else can you take it? If you don't vote for him, you're not black. He just told you. How else you gonna take it?
Yeah, right. You take it for face value for what it is, right?
That's what he said.
He said it.
If you don't vote for me, you're not black. Meaning you something else.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he said it.
So
people apologize after they be saying some
stuff. He apologized because he know he said something sounded crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
well, that wasn't crazy though. Based upon the alternative.
Yeah, right.
If
exactly.
You don't vote for him, you're really in bad
shape.
Trouble.
Yeah.
This is one thing that voting. It don't matter who you vote for, who you don't vote for. For me, when this election comes.
It matters to me.
I'm listening. I know, but I'm telling you the story. So you're going
to
listen
to
this.
Okay, let me listen to what
listen to
okay.
this.
Okay,
but,
Negro spirit.
Yeah,
let
me
listen
to the spirit.
Okay.
Let me explain something to y'all. If Trump wasn't the president right now who had come out here doing all the stuff he's done and claiming to be the law and order president, we would not be having this revolution that we have
and
in
this conversations that we have.
If Hillary was there,
it would be more passive.
And everybody's all passive. We got the first woman president. People still would be shot and killed by the police.
Trump
kind of
did us a favor.
That's what I'm
saying.
You know
what I mean? He brought some consciousness to us and made us like, woo.
Everybody's like, we got a clan as a president.
Yeah.
We never
you
knew it was this bad. We've been telling y'all it's this bad for the longest before he got elected.
Yeah.
Right.
Racism started before Trump was elected. Black Lives Matter started before he was elected. Obama was in office.
Yeah, it
did. We've been telling y'all this stuff now, and that's Democrats.
It's showing up right now.
Now, if Trump loses and we get Joe Biden in there, people are going to be like, okay, now everything's better. We want. No, it's not better.
No.
I don't think that tear down and destruction of the fabric of America to be broken wide and everybody see the inside, see the bones, and see like, damn, this is really ugly. This is really as bad as, like, he's talking about how Mississippi was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really that bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it shifted and migrated in different ways to where it's covert racism instead of overt racism,
mm-hmm.
and the systematic aspect of it is crushing us. Mm-hmm. But people, they're like, well, we all have the same opportunities.
No, we don't.
We all have the same resources.
No, we don't.
We all have the police protecting and serving us.
No, we don't.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but if we have that Democrat, I'm an independent. If we have that Democratic president who's gonna make everything great,
I don't believe that the Democrats are just perfect people.
Yes.
You know,
they're human beings.
And,
so
yeah,
they're not.
Right. I think there's a lot of flaws with Democrats. But I think it's more Republican.
Yeah, it is.
Because Republicans don't see the narrative of how to help minority people.
Because as you all were saying, that money talks.
Money talks.
And when they're backing it, if we as a community did back someone, that kind of makes sense. I'm not going to vote against you.
And
they stay in office.
Capitalistic system.
They live in office like
who
that.
Who got the capital make the
that's
rules?
Right.
So,
they do.
So that's why it doesn't matter. That's why I'm independent, because I don't trust the blue. I don't trust the red. I can't trust neither one of y'all. Y'all ain't never done good for what? I don't. Why?
It's on such a level as it is, we have to stand for against what's in there now.
No, listen to me. I just told you. Now when it's going to go back to the old racism,
mm-hmm.
the damage has been done enough. It has to be broken. It just started to crack. It ain't break it. It just started to crack, and everybody can't take it. It's a fraction.
We have to be consistent with what's taking place right now. This topics that we're talking about these days have to be continuing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop talking about it.
But
you gotta keep it on mm-hmm. people's mind. You gotta talk about racism.
No matter who's in office.
You gotta talk about it.
I would rather talk about it with Biden in office than I do with Trump in office.
Will the white people who are on our side now talking about it be that angry, that aggravated, frustrated
right.
if he wasn't there?
Yeah.
Do you think if
not on the level that it is,
the white people who are fighting mad, ain't nothing gonna change on the federal level, state level until white people change?
Yeah.
Let me just say this.
Okay.
Things happen for a reason.
There's a reason that man is in office right now to bring about this change. Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
is what had to happen.
Do you think it's
white
over? Do you think it's over? The change is not over. Now we got,
no.
what do we have? Hey. June, July.
August,
September.
We can always agree to disagree. You know what I mean? But I want to thank you, man. Negro Spiritual, for showing up.
Woo!
You know, woo!
You know I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here.
And 9.9. Every Sunday night, right?
Yeah. 8 p.m.
The night shift.
Just remember one thing.
Huh?
You remember the golden rule.
What? He who has the gold.
He who has the gold makes the rule.
Say that into the blues.
Say that into the microphone.
He who has the gold makes the rule.
There you go.
Say, hey, Sansray. Good seeing you back.
Who that broke?
Seeing you back. And I want to thank everybody who tuned in to the show. Thank Marcus Harper, Nehemiah Frank, all of the crew, Dean Finley, everybody who was here. Keep in mind that, hey, you can stop by at 1533 North Norfolk, and this is the Bobby Eaton Show. We want you guys to go to KBOB899.com. Again, it's KBOB899.com. That's our website. You know,
say that five times real fast.
KBOB
com.
And hey, look us up, check us out, get with us. We are taking donations over here.
That's right.
We need to build that brand. Come help us. Juice Radio Show. All right. Until the next time, we want you to have a good one and stay black, okay?
That's right.
That's what we do.
Send some blessings, everyone, until we see you on the radio again. I love you. Bye.
All right.
Ralph Johnson, the Earthwind and Fire. And whenever I'm in Tulsa, I'm tuned in to KPOP 89.9 on the FM.
Y'all, we are back. This is the Juice Radio Show. So let's get back into what we were talking about. We were getting a little bit of insight on this weekend and how everybody felt. I asked the question of what do you think the solution is to tackling police brutality in the Black community? And do you feel protesting will create a solution or more problems? And if so, how? So I'm going to let y'all, you know, do y'all thing on that. Does anybody have any feedback for me?
I just want to kind of hop in where Wayne was talking about. Yeah. He doesn't feel like that, looting solves anything. I would have to agree. I don't think looting solves anything. And I think we were just saying before we went off break that, I was saying specifically that, you know, even though looting doesn't solve anything, and even though some people may be against protests, or some people may be against certain things.
Yeah.
Everybody has a place in trying to fight what we're trying to fight right now. You may not be one of the people that want to go out there and be a part of the protest, want to go out there on the front lines. Maybe the best thing you can do is just use your voice at home, you know, and
right.
just educate people in your family about it. And just, you know, everybody has a place. Everybody doesn't isn't supposed to be out there. You know, so but the point that I'm making is that try not to judge how Black people mourn. Try not to judge how Black people protest. Try not to judge how Black people respond to being killed over and over by police. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's responding to it differently.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not mad. And no way nobody responded to it, because an innocent man lost his life. And if that was your life, wouldn't you want the whole world to avenge your death too?
So yeah,
if I lost my life in the same way that George Floyd lost his life, and I knew that the whole world had stopped for me, and people were looting and burning buildings down and doing crazy stuff, I'd be pretty hyped.
Yeah,
I'd be like, that's kind of dope. You know what I mean? So I think that we are, even though that's wrong, still, at least we are showing that we cared about an innocent Black man's life being taken away wrongfully.
Yeah, I feel like if you're not on the ground kind of fighter, like
mm-hmm.
out there doing the protest, blah, 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 there has to be some kind of effort. So instead of just reposting something, or like, you know, there has to be some sense of like, I care about this and I want it to change. Because it could be you, it could be your dad, it could be your brother, you know, so, or sister, whatever. So, you know, I just think, you know, we got to do something. Whether we go into the city council members and saying what we got to say, going to the police officers, chief of police, whatever, saying what we got to say, and, you know, making our mark on the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you bring up another good point that, you know, we got to also try to be careful not to judge other people. And, you know, it's so easy to tell somebody else, you're not posting anything, or you just posted a selfie and you should have posted a black square.
Yeah.
People are doing that. You know what I mean? And so I feel like it don't matter how bad the world looks. It don't matter how good the world looks. Everybody's not going to do what you want them to do. The world could be very well ending. And just because somebody don't want to tweet about it, or they don't want to post about it, we really got to just learn that everybody is dealing with things in their own way, and nobody's dealing with it the same way. And again, it don't matter how bad the world looks. Everybody's not going to deal with it the same way.
Yeah.
Everybody. So we got to cut that out, because everybody's not going to post a black square. Everybody's not going to go to a protest. That's okay. Again, everybody's going to deal with it their own way. And I just feel like we just need to respect that.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. So, does anybody else have anything to say, or we gonna move on? Okay, we move. Oh, we got, you know, our girl. I'm sorry, I was gonna say Illy Red. I'll let you introduce yourself. Let everybody know.
Yep, it's ICM, and yeah, I just came in minutes ago, but I'm here now. So what's up?
What's up?
Have you been to any protests, or you been watching everything that's going on?
I've definitely been watching, and I mean, kind of like what he was saying, like, I really think it is really beautiful to see people coming together and everything like that. But I wish I was at the protest. Hopefully they have another one soon, and I'll definitely be there. But yeah, I mean, I've been watching for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about why the National Guard came to Tulsa, or to town. So why do you guys think that the National Guard came to Tulsa?
Tiller, can you tell us more about that?
Okay. Well, so on the night of the riot in front of the mall, they had called National Guard to come in and help out with the help the police out, because I guess they had got too crazy and whatnot. And from what I've heard was that they had tanks rolling down the street, because people had broken into a jewelry store
mm-hmm.
and started stealing stuff out the jewelry store. And so they called like the National Guard in, and the National Guard was out there till about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then after that, that's really just about it. And so
National Guard will probably in most cases only come out whenever things become federal. So when things become like a federal issue, meaning like basically when we mess with their money, we mess with government money, or, you know, money, then they come out, because they, you know, just mess with their money. But that's when we make most changes, when you mess with their money, because then they're present, you know. But I mean, that's why I think they came out, is because, I mean, we were planning. We didn't destroy them all, but there was other businesses that was destroyed, you know. So this is a banking system for the United States, and most businesses obviously, you know, provide money or whatever. So yeah, when you mess their money, then they're gonna show up.
I can see that. I mean, to me, it was more of like, why was the National Guard needed to be called? I mean, I understand that, I guess the police couldn't handle as many people as it was out there, but, like, I guess they was just out for extra protection and trying to calm down the situation, but it didn't.
What's up, everybody? This is Lester Troutman.
Is that Troutman?
From the group Zap. And when we in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we always listen to
K-Bob FM.